Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HelloFresh. Get yourself $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Just go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Go to HelloFresh.com and enter code Ghost80. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, how can you explain the headlights up ahead when there's no vehicles on the road? What comes down at night in the cemetery with an unusually high fence? And could there be a reason for the extremely low rent of a dream apartment?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new one every single week, advanced episodes of the show, an e-copy of our book, access to our Seeing Ghost episodes at ghostpodcast.com. Lots of extras there for you. And even a fast pass email. So if you got a story you really want to get on the air and get us to take a look at it, basically kind of jump to the front of the line, you get that as well when you're an EPP, extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I had a fun and interesting dream last night.
You did. I had a weird one, too.
Really?
I did.
Is it, like, good for talking about on the air?
No, probably not.
Okay. That's a shame. Mine was just, like, bizarre. I don't really have... I know this may come as a shock to most, but I don't usually have very bizarre dreams. Uh-huh. They're not... They're usually just pretty... It's, like, run-of-the-mill, everyday life situations.
Yeah.
It's rare where it's like, holy shit, what is going on here? Type things. I thought I'd share it because it was really just messed up. So there's really, it's just like a small little chunk of it. I don't really know. There's not a whole lot of setup to it other than we were, it was all four of us. We were in our living room, and there's a big picture window there that looks out into the backyard. And here in Branson, there's all sorts of attractions for people to do. Mm-hmm. You can bungee jump thing. There's the tower. There's, you know, all, you name it. There's weird, interesting things. We have the Navy Pier, Ferris wheel. We have all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
That one can do. Not a ton of like super extreme things. I mean, there's like a couple, you know, there's the, Silver Dollar City across the street with all the roller coasters, but I guess, you know, roller coaster type stuff is as extreme as it gets. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I have to preface this because I think this kind of played into it. So we're sitting in the living room, and for whatever reason, it was a lot more forested outside than it is really. I think it was more like when we moved in, how forested it was before we did a little deforestation in the backyard so we could see our backyard. But a lot of trees. And I look up and there's like people coming out of the sky with, I guess they were like parachutes, but they were more like the size of umbrellas. So it was kind of Mary Poppins-ish, but they weren't like holding on to them like Mary Poppins flying around. It was just like that's how big their thing was. It almost looked like the backup parachute, the tinier one, as if the larger one had failed. And they were coming down pretty quick. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on? And I'm thinking they're just going to hit the ground. And most of them are landing just fine. One guy lands on our deck down there. And I think he thinks this is part of the ride still. And he looks up at me. And I like wave and he gives me a thumbs up and then he jumps off our deck down the cliff with his like another parachute.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, does he think it's like really far down? Like he's going to kill himself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Like what is going on here? And then I look up and there was a large branch right by our window, which doesn't exist. But there was like a lady hanging onto it. And I said, is this like a new attraction or something here in Branson? Like people just parachuting?
Uh-huh.
And did they like miss their target?
Uh-huh.
And now they're in our backyard? Or what's going on? And I said, my God, if they're going, they're landing down in the woods here like this, somebody's just going to impale themselves. And no sooner do I say that, I look at the woman and she's got a branch stuck right through her eye.
Oh, God.
And she's like stuck there. And I thought she was just holding onto the tree. No, the branch impaled her and the branch was going through her eye. And you didn't realize it yet, but I had like kind of just looked off to the side to see what she was. Mm-hmm. I saw the branch mm-hmm. like right through her head. And but it wasn't sticking out the other side. And you didn't catch it. And I said, oh, my God, get Jen to the other room so she doesn't see this. And I was like, I got you and I tried to move you to there. And you kept like trying to look. And I'm like blocking your head. I'm like, no, look that way. Look to the other room. Because I was afraid that you were going to see it and be like forever scarred and never want to go into the living room again.
Okay.
Or demand that we move or something.
Sure.
After someone impaled themselves on the tree in our backyard, which I'd be totally fine with. But I think you probably want to leave if that happened.
Yeah. That's so funny because I'm the one that has seen more gross, gory stuff in real life.
Yeah.
And I'm okay.
You are. I know, but I don't know. I think, I don't know if it'd be different. If there was someone impaled right by our window, would that make it a little different for...
That would give me some sad feelings. Yeah.
Kind of be awkward in there watching television.
You know, it's so funny though that you mentioned this because our landscaper, when we first moved in and he took those trees down, he said if we ever see a plane coming and it looks like it's coming towards our house and people jump out of it, it's just him and his buddies that they sometimes skydive onto the golf course.
Oh, really?
So I haven't seen him do it since we've been here, but he said that, yeah, that they land there because that's like the only safe place around here to land.
Is that the folks who just worked on the...
Yes.
We just had them do some stuff.
He's wild. Yeah. Yes. And he's so much fun, but he does some extreme stuff.
Oh, my God. Well, that's interesting because we just saw them last week. And uh-huh. We didn't even have a conversation about anything of the sort.
No, but he told us that when we first moved in.
I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. But, well, there you go. Maybe it was like some repressed memory of him telling me that. I don't
know. Now watch. They'll be getting ready to jump like next week or something.
And I'm going
to
just like faint. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to walk into the living room and I see people coming down on parachutes towards the house. I'm going to wet myself.
Yeah.
I can guarantee it. So there you go. Dream meaning that one.
There you go.
I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, I have another fun ghost story I'll share in just a little bit. It actually just happened the other day when I was doing an interview for the Grave Talks.
Uh-huh.
And it ties into other ghostly related things that have happened surrounding a specific topic. It was interesting. I have not told you this yet, and I don't know why. I think it just slipped my mind.
Did it happen in our house? Is it something creepy that happened?
It didn't happen in our house. I mean, there was like nothing in our house that happened. It happened when I was recording the show.
Okay.
So it involves the recording of the program.
Okay.
But there wasn't like anybody that walked by the door. Sorry to spoiler alert. It was just somebody that walked by outside. No, I'm kidding. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a minute. First, I want to thank our supporter today, HelloFresh. I love these guys. HelloFresh makes conquering the kitchen a reality with delicious, simple recipes. If that's kind of a goal of yours, you're certainly going, I wish I could do better in the kitchen. HelloFresh, well, damn, they can make it happen. In fact, they're going to make it even easier for you. Get you $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Yes, you have no reason not to try it. $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Enter code Ghost80 when you go to HelloFresh.com. I love HelloFresh because basically they kind of do all the meal planning for you. You just go to their website or go to the app and you select the meals that you want for the week and it shows up. Well, they do all the shopping, all the prepping. Shows up, you make the meal, and it is easy. Meals that can be done in 30 minutes max, okay? They even have some that are they're even listed specifically as 20-minute meals or HelloFresh's dinner-to-lunch options or one-pot wonders. They have so many options for you. Whatever you like to do in the kitchen, how you like to do it, they're going to help you make it a reality. In fact, some of the stuff that HelloFresh has on their menu, they got the chicken teriyaki bowl right now with bell peppers, peanuts, and sriracha. Sriracha is kind of an addiction with me. Tuscan sausage and pepper spaghetti with tomatoes and parmesan. Melty Monterey Jack burgers with red onion jam, garlic mayo, crispy breaded zucchini. It goes on and on. Every week, there's so many great options. Listen to this one. This is one of their gourmet options. Lobster ravioli and shrimp with tomatoes and tarragon cream sauce. Does that not sound awesome? How about this? sirloin, seared sirloin steak with garlic herb butter, chive mashed potatoes, and honeyed carrots. It's awesome. It's just awesome stuff. If you're getting hungry, I totally understand. Go get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh right now. Before you do anything else, just take a minute, go there, do it. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Go to HelloFresh.com, enter code Ghost80, and get yourself $80 off. Lots of plans for you, lots of options. Your family's going to thank you. It's a fuss-free dinner with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested approved family plan recipes. It's all there for you. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Go to HelloFresh.com and enter code Ghost80. It's like getting 8 meals free. Okay? Check it out. $80 off your first month. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go over to our first letter. It says, hi, Tony. First, I'd just like to say it's been a pleasure listening to your show and have been listening for over a year. I'm currently not an EPP yet. However, I'm a supporter through Patreon for the Grave Talks, which I also enjoy. Hope that podcast is as successful as this is. A little bit about me. My family survived the killing fields of Cambodia and came to the United States as refugees in the early 90s when I was very young. My first experience of the unexplained happened when I was about 4, living down in California. My cousin and I were arguing over something. Whatever it was, he was holding on to an apple and a knife. Well, you probably already know what happened next. He lunged and stabbed me right in the eye socket. Well, that's fucking weird. Hang
on. Did you read this story?
No, I didn't read this story. No. Okay. I mean, all I did was run Grammarly through it to spell check it. That's how our show works.
It is.
Okay. Coincidences are a thing here. I know you say there's no such thing as a coincidence, but what the hell is this?
There's some point to it. I don't know yet.
There's some listener that's going to benefit of this. That's going to is at risk of getting their eye stabbed out.
Yeah.
And they're going to thank God you guys talked about stabbing your eye out last week because now I have both my eyes.
You'll stab your eye out.
Almost didn't happen. Continuing on, luckily, I did not lose an eye, just received a scar. But when that happened, I remember running into the house. We were in the driveway at the time, hand covering my eye and screaming hysterically. My dad and uncle came to me, laid me down on my back, and I must have passed out at the moment because the next thing I knew, I'm floating in the air looking down at my dad and uncle who are kneeling down over my body. And then nothing, not a memory after that. Don't even remember recovering from that injury. I didn't understand what I experienced until I heard about out-of-body or outer-body experiences later in my teens and didn't quite make the connection until I was an adult. But till this day, I can't say for sure whether I was just dreaming or really had experienced an OBE. Now, the most profound experience I ever had happened many moons ago when I was still serving in the United States Army. I was on my way to the base in the dark hours of the morning, commuting on the same route that I've driven hundreds of times before to Fort Lewis. But on this morning at around 5:30 a.m. in the middle of a major freeway, I saw something floating. Now, I'm kind of ahead of the traffic, which wasn't much at that hour, and there were no other vehicles in front of me for hundreds of yards. From a distance, the first thing that came to my mind was, is that the fog? But I already knew it wasn't. If anything, the fog was just the first thing on my mental list of possibilities, and I was merely just going down the list and crossing out names. My own deductive reasoning process. But anyways, as my headlights get closer to the whatever this thing is, it starts to illuminate brighter. It almost looks like a clear trash bag floating, except it has a fluid sort of ectoplasm spheric motion. And then finally going about 70 miles an hour, I'm about to drive past this thing, which is now in the lane on my right. I get within 10 yards of it, and this thing looks like it just transformed itself into the shape of a torso with a head. That's it, no arms or legs. The moment I pass this thing, I get goosebumps. Every hair on my body stands, and my eyes are uncontrollably tearful. I'm full of tears, and I absolutely don't know why. Obviously, I get to work and tell my buddies about my experience, but I made it a point that I'm not saying I saw a ghost, just something I can't explain. When I got home, I tried to Google any deaths that happened along that stretch of the freeway, but came up empty. So I wonder if others have had the same reaction involving more than just goosebumps. Thanks for reading the story. I apologize if it was long. I heard you mention that you were collaborating with someone I'm making a podcast involving paranormal and law enforcement. I'm excited to hear those stories. I don't believe I've ever talked about doing that, but we've talked about having some guests on in that area, but we're not making a new podcast about that by any means. There you go.
Okay. So I would take it as the near losing an eye stabbing as a near death experience. And that was
sure
probably made him more sensitive to everything.
Sure.
So who knows where this ghost came from or what it was doing there or if it's got a reason to be there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's definitely on the paranormal scale as far as what he saw.
I completely agree. Creepy story. I'm just still kind of baffled by suddenly we go into a story about eye stabbings.
Yeah.
It's kind of a random thing. I mean, it's not something I talk about every show. Every other show I usually bring up someone being stabbed in the eye.
No,
I'm kidding. But that is how this thing goes down. You want to hear my other thing?
Sure.
I talked about. Okay, so the other day I was doing an interview, and I think I mentioned I interviewed this guy in the previous episode with Carol the other day. I don't remember. Anyway, it's coming up on an episode of the Grave Talks, and this one it will be released for Gravekeepers, which is basically the equivalent of EPPs over at the Grave Talks or other show. They'll be getting this one mid-April or so as an advanced episode. I'm just finishing up the editing on it. And it will be going public for everybody else in the world, the first part of it anyway, in June. That's how far out those episodes are. But it's an interview with Ed and Lorraine Warren's grandson. Mm-hmm. Who now heads up the Warren Society for Paranormal Research. I think that's the title of it. I'm sorry if I butchered that. Anyway, he also helps take care of Lorraine. Like when we did the interview the other day, Lorraine was like 10 feet away from him. But she's retired. I wasn't going to be like, give her the phone.
I know. I would have.
Believe me, I really wanted to. Mm-hmm. I want to be like, just give her the phone. Just like 2 seconds. Just 2 seconds. I'm like, you know, how does she doing these? She's like, she sleeps a lot. Oh. And she's 90 something. So, you know, I understand. Anyway, it was a really interesting interview. You're going to like it when it comes out. And if you want to get in on it before June, go to thegravetalks.com and become a gravekeeper over there. You'll get it like in a week or two. We were talking about Amityville, which obviously Ed and Lorraine were a big part of, as far as the investigation goes. And there's always been a thing with that story, when people try and discuss what happened, mm-hmm. in the house. There was always issues when George was alive, when he would try and do interviews, difficult just for it to happen. Unforeseen circumstances would come up on multiple occasions. For many, many people, just to get the interview done. And then lots of issues with the phones of if it was a phone interview for it to work.
Sure.
And a lot of other issues from other folks too. And I don't have a laundry list of examples, but I know they're out there if you dig. And so it's been a weird thing of just like, talking to people involved, with this case. And it seems to happen quite a bit when you're talking about what was the driving thing with Ronnie DeFeo, who, of course, is the one who murdered his family, in that house. And then that, of course, he claimed that he was not possessed. What was his defense? Like possession, oppression, whatever it was. When you talk about what was going on there, that seems to be a weird point of interference, if you will. So we're talking about it, and he's starting to share the story, and we're just kind of doing a quick little recap into it for any three people in the world who haven't heard of what Amityville is. And right as we get to talking about Ronnie, boom, the phone goes out.
Yeah.
I've done now, and I was counting it the other day. This would have been like interview 80 something on the Grave Talks. We're over like 80 some episodes in on that show. I have never had, and you'd be surprised because Skype kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But I've had good luck with it, and I've never had it where it just goes out. I've had bad connections where, like, the other person has a bad internet connection or something, and it gets buffery-ish, but it just, boom, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right when we hit that spot. And then we called him right back, and we continued the conversation. But I just thought it was kind of odd.
The timing of it, definitely. Yeah.
Then he's like, you know, I have stories, too. And he was telling me that when Ed and Lorraine were coming back from, I don't recall, and it says it in our interview, he says exactly what they were at. It was something involving Amityville. I don't know if they were giving a speech about it or a lecture about it, or if it was literally when it was going on and they were heading back home. But they were heading back home, and all of a sudden they got rear-ended. Mm-hmm. And they veered off the road. They were fine, but they were like, you know, what the hell? And they get back into their car, and then another car that was on another road that was, you know, about to turn on saw this happen. And he you know, gets over to them while they're still on the side of the road, and he says, I don't know what the hell just happened, but it looked like you got rear-ended, but there was no car behind you.
Oh, wow.
It's like something just jolted them forward as if they got hit. I don't know. It's...
That's crazy.
Oh, it was right when he said he was going to, and Ed made a comment about something of, well, I don't know what is up with this area, but it's never going to give us as many problems as Amityville, or something of that nature. And boom, right when he said that, that's when
something got him.
Something hit it. It was like right on the point of making a statement about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's a good interview. A lot of interesting things. I think we touched on some things that I don't think have really been talked about before. So anyway, I'm excited. He's a really good interview. He's a paranormal investigator himself. And we're going to start having him on that show as a regular guest, talking about his investigations. But it was a great introduction to kind of set his story and where he comes from. Interesting perspective of having Ed and Lorraine Warren as grandparents.
Yeah.
And what that was like.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't mean to go into a promo for the other show, but
it's okay.
A promo.
Okay.
It's like The Hangover. It's what was the word on The Hangover that he changed? I'm trying to think. It's,
don't.
What was it?
It's not appropriate.
There's no line on this show.
Yeah, there is.
No, there is.
There's a word that you don't say anymore because it's not socially acceptable to say it. No.
Oh, you're right. I know what you're saying.
We don't say it.
Okay. I know what you're saying. Okay. A promo. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next says, this is a true story that happened on the May 15th, 2006 in a small Illinois town where I grew up. I've always believed in ghosts ever since I was a little girl because of the first 10 years of my life. My family and I lived in an old spooky house where many strange things happened that couldn't be explained. I never actually saw anything in that house, but on the evening of May 15th, 2006, I encountered my first full-bodied apparition. There's an old cemetery that I used to go to just to walk around and look at the headstones. Very quiet, peaceful place, and after having a stressful day like I did, I'd go there for a bit to relax. I also took my two children there when they were younger because there were gophers in there. I dug holes in the ground, and the kids liked to go see them once in a while. We always felt comfortable there, never afraid. We always went in the daytime, never at night. Not that I was afraid or anything, it just seemed like the daytime was when we went in there. Anyway, when I went in there to walk around, I went by myself. Usually, my two kids were older by this time, so they had other things to do and lost interest. I've always loved this old cemetery, so I continued going there from time to time. I always went in the afternoon around 2 or 3 p.m., walked through several times, and then head for home. On the day this incident happened, I was running late. I didn't get to the cemetery till around 4:30. I had a stressful day, needed to walk and have some time alone. Even though it was later time than when I usually went, be getting dark soon, it mattered to me. I've been there many times before, and I never had anything scary happen. I didn't give it a second thought. Parked my car in the very back and walked through several times till I got tired. It's important to the story. Let me explain this. There's only one way out of the cemetery, and that's through the front. The cemetery is big, surrounded by very high fences and barbed wire at the top. There's no way over it. The very back has a small fence, but there's a sharp drop-off that goes to a riverbank back there. On this particular day, I parked in the back like usual, got out of my car, had a habit of checking things out before I left my car, like looking to see if anyone else was there with me. I didn't want to get trapped in there with some weirdo. I looked around and saw nobody. So I began my walk, walked through several times, and had stopped to look at a few headstones. After about 90 minutes, I stopped at my car to rest. I noticed twilight coming on and debated about going home. I decided to walk through once more and then head for home. I looked around like I always did and saw nobody was there. Started walking again, and it was about 2 blocks from my car when I heard what sounded like some voice yelling, "Hey," from behind me. I stopped and froze because I knew it was impossible for someone to get behind me in the back of the cemetery so quickly without me seeing them. I'd just been back there to my car several minutes before when I checked and nobody was there. I turned around and saw what looked to be a tall, thin man dressed in some sort of a blue uniform or outfit of some sort. It was getting kind of dark by then, but I could still see the back there. When he saw me looking at him, he waved his hand and started walking very fast, like he was eager to catch up with me. I was very scared because I honestly thought this was some crazy person and something told me to run, so I did. I ran to my car as fast as I could and got in. I started it up and sat there a minute. I decided to drive through to see what the weirdo wanted. And guess what? Nobody was in the cemetery at all.
The end?
The end.
Okay.
Yes. No, it's a very, very dramatic pause.
That's really, I get people that enjoy going and walking around cemeteries.
Me?
Yeah. But I don't think I could do it at certain times of the day because I would be afraid of this exact thing.
What?
Seeing somebody that's not really there.
And?
Yeah, I just don't seek that out, believe it or not.
I don't think I ever go for seeing dead people.
No, but you go to get creeped a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Have a picnic lunch.
That hasn't been a thing for like 100 years.
Bring it back.
No.
I'm bringing picnic lunch back in the cemetery.
That's terrible.
I'm bringing picnic lunch back. It's a hard one to do.
That's really bad.
I should do that in karaoke.
No.
Bringing sexy back, but I bringing picnic lunch back.
Figured that's what you were trying to do. No, it's awful. But no, that doesn't surprise me. She saw somebody that wasn't really there.
No, I think it probably happens more times than, I mean, there's a lot of times if you go to a cemetery and you walk around a little bit, you tend to see things.
Or you see other people you think or you assume are there to visit their loved ones.
You do. And you don't go up to them and have it like, "Hey, how's the weather?" Unless of course you're like my mom or something and you're in Wisconsin where everybody's just like, "Oh, how you doing there?" And like they're in tears and you know, they're like laying over the gravestone, hugging it. They're like, "Hey, I hear about the Packers. They traded Don Majkowski." It's like, shit, they're like really in mourning. I don't think they But that Chris Jackie, he's a good kicker, and he's for 68.
okay.
That works in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
I will say people sometimes do have, like, the Green Bay Packer emblem, like, etched into their stones. Not making it up.
I believe you. I believe you.
They just die hard. And it's not even like they were. Like, I get it, like, if you were a Packer, and you're like, "Oh, okay, it was cool. It's a big part of your life." But it's like, no, I just watched it a lot. I guess it's kind of like if you're like really into, I don't know, Young and the Restless, and you put the symbol on your gravestone. So you watch Young and the Restless every day.
I think it's dedication. A little different. Is it a little bit? Yeah.
It's a thing you're viewing. And
you know, until you, I had no idea how diehard Packers fans were. Not that you're the most diehard Packers fan, but I've learned so much more about that just since we've been together.
Sure.
Because I had no idea. I thought, oh, everybody likes their football team. They like to watch. But I didn't realize it's a way of life for people.
Oh, it very much is up there. I mean, it's, yeah.
And that's awesome.
There you go.
I wish I could get that into something.
I know. I guess ghosts. Maybe I'll have like the real Ghost Stories logo on my gravestone.
I'm not even that into ghosts. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Who gives a shit about that? But no, it's interesting. I will say this about that last story, because I know there's like 10 people or more, probably plenty going, "Have we heard that story before?" I think we have. I think that may have been someone resubmitted.
Oh, okay.
At some point in time. I couldn't tell you when or where, but there was elements to it that made me go, "I think I've read this before." But when I curate the stories, I just kind of go in chronological order of submission. And sometimes if someone, that's why I always say, don't resubmit your story. I will get to it. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes that does happen and it falls through the crack and like, oh, this looks like a good story. And sometimes it's slightly rewritten.
Yeah.
So then I don't quite catch that part. So anyway, we got to hear another good ghost story again, but there you go. No need to post everywhere. I think you said that one before. I think we might have.
It was new to me. I enjoyed it.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter. It says, the early years of my marriage to my husband, we were looking for an apartment that was cheap and close to his work. This was in 1971. In the paper, we found that all he had to do was walk across the yard down the field from where this location was and over a railroad track, and he'd be at work. The rent was what we liked at best, and it was cheap. We went to see the apartment. It was the basement of an elderly lady's home. She took us down many steps to the basement. To the left of us was a door she unlocked. We all went in. Kitchen was small. The living room and the bedroom were actually one, only with a curtain drawn across from the wall to the wall to have a bedroom there. In the apartment were two small windows, and the whole apartment was not very big. It's quite dark, even with a few lights that were on in there. I asked where the bathroom was, and she took us out of the door to the apartment down this long, very dim-lit hallway. To the right of us was another curtain, and behind that was a shower stall. Then went to another room with a curtain, and she was showing us that there was a toilet and a small sink. Across from the toilet was a door in which she took us in, and it was the utility room where she had a washer and dryer in there and many shelves and some big barrows sitting next to the washer. She told us that we could wash our clothes and dry them or hang them up on the line that was hanging there along the wall as we kept the room clean. I told my husband that room was cold feeling to me. He said it was because it was in the basement. My husband looked at me and said, "We'll take the apartment." So the next day, we packed up our things from our other apartment and took our new apartment. Got all our things to the new apartment, and then my husband, who worked the second shift, had to get ready for work. I told him I'd have plenty to do unpacking and putting things away. For days, I'd put our things away. Got a lamp for the living room so there'd be more light in the apartment, as it was very dim. That seemed to brighten up all the rooms since the apartment was very small, but we had no children, and with the price, we could not go wrong. We had no phone while we lived there, but our landlady told us we could always come upstairs and use the one she had when we wanted to. We thanked her and went back to our new home in the basement. One night, my husband woke up and woke me up and asked if I heard that noise coming from the utility room. I said, "No, what are you talking about?" He said it sounded like something being dragged across the floor. I said, "No, I didn't hear anything." We stayed awake for a little while and nothing, so I fell back to sleep. But a week later, one night, I was not feeling well, so I went to sleep, pulled the curtain back to let the heat in. I was woken up by a noise, rolled over to take a look at the clock, and it was nearly 3 a.m. It was long past time for my husband to be home. He was drunk, so I figured he was out of the bars. Maybe it was my imagination working so hard, something. I was very, very tired. I stayed awake waiting for my husband to come home and listening to all sorts of noises. I prayed a lot to the Lord to protect me until my man came home. Something sounded like dragging. Some sounded like banging on the wall next to the head of the bed. Got out of bed and sat on the sofa, pulled the curtain close. Wanted to go upstairs to use the phone, but too frightened to open the door. So I pulled the chair up under the doorknob to keep whatever was out of there in the hallway and the other room from getting in. I stayed awake until my husband came home around 4 a.m. When he was banging up against the door, my heart went so fast I could hardly breathe. Then I heard him say, "Let me in." I went and removed the chair and flung myself into his arms, shaking. He didn't notice, and he went to bed. And I was next to him after the door was locked and the chair was under the knob. The next day, we had to talk, and he said to me, "I told you something woke me up one night. Now, will you listen to what I say?" I said, "Yes." We looked into the room where the washer and dryer were in the morning and didn't see anything out of place. No scratch marks on the floor. Nothing was out of order. Checked the bathroom and the shower, and nothing was out of order. One night, I was so cold and so frightened, I had to go to the bathroom at the other end of the hallway. I held it as long as I could. Then I finally just had to open the door and go down the long, dimly lit hallway to the toilet. Did my business, not wanting to look into the laundry room. I hurried back to the apartment and locked the door. Felt like something was watching me while I was in the bathroom. Everything seemed to calm down, and so we did. Or so did we. My husband went to bed early. He was drunk, and all I had to do was go to the bathroom to take a shower. I did the shower first and then went to the toilet. The laundry room door was open and the curtain to the toilet was open a bit. As I sat on the toilet and looked into the room, my heart nearly stopped. I could see what appeared to be a man hanging from the neck in the laundry room, just swinging around limp. I got off the toilet, went to the apartment shaking, too afraid to stay there. I flung the door open and ran upstairs to the outside. Our landlady came out wanting to know what all the noise was from. I told her that the basement was haunted. She laughed at me. Then she told me the story. Her husband was a drunk. He spent a lot of time in the basement. She'd not let him upstairs. I asked if he slept in the little apartment when he was down there, and she said he might have. She did not chase after him. She said one day she went away and came back and had to do some laundry and went downstairs to find him hung in the laundry room. He had hung himself. His eyes were open, able to see the area where he hung himself when I was sitting on the toilet. I asked her with a shaky voice, what did he stand on to this to what did he stand on to do this with? She told me that he had found one of those old burrows from there next to the washer rolled over near him and figured he used that to stand on. I told her of all the noises I heard since we lived there, the dragging, the banging, the gasping. She told me she'd heard all that too when she had been in the basement. I told her that I'd seen him hanging there. He looked human. She said she had seen him down there too, and she just tells him to behave himself and goes on with their work. She told me that he would not hurt me. That he was dead. I told her I was not going to live in a place like this anymore. My husband and I had to live there for a little while longer. The TV went out. The only thing that I had that would make noise so I could not hear what was going on in the other room was the radio, which I played loud to drown out the other noises. One day I called my mom and asked if we could stay with them upstairs and pay them the rent that we paid here. She asked why, and I told her. We moved out of that small apartment and went to live with my mom and dad. Sometime after that, I went back to talk to the landlady and asked her why she didn't tell us about that before we took the apartment. And she said that she should have, but she needed the money, and if she would have said anything, no one would rent it. I never went back after that.
That's crazy that she's just like, oh, I just tell him to behave. He won't bother you. He's dead. It's like, really? That's kind of just very, I don't know what the word is, but if I were to see a dead loved one all the time that's like in the position of how they died, I think I'd be a little more upset than just behave, you know?
Now the thing is, it's funny, the old lady could make a ton of money on this.
Oh my gosh.
She could rent out her space to people who want to investigate. That's what people, there's literally, I mean, that's so interesting to me that this exists, where it's, you know, there's all these old buildings and the only thing that saved half of them from being destroyed is the fact that they can do paranormal tourism with it and rent them out to groups that want to investigate. I don't know how long this will last because there's only, I mean, there's a lot of groups out there, but at the end of the day, there's only so many groups out there.
That's true, but then you have just the regular people that are interested, you know, like the ones that want to go spend the night at Waverly and things like that, you know? I mean, there's always going to be a following because places that have done that for a long time, I mean, that's just it. They've done it for a long time.
Well, I mean, in the scheme of things, what I'm wondering is the paranormal tourism in some of these structures where it's owned by a paranormal group now, and then they rent it out, you know, for folks to, you know, $300 for the weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have the run of it. Is this a trend? I mean, because we haven't seen the end of it yet. And I think, you know, it's only really been going on like this for a handful of years. What I'm wondering is its longevity. I'm wondering, is this something that's always going to be out there now as like a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we also going to see that kind of come to a close at some point?
What I bet is actually going to happen is it's going to give enough longevity to these buildings that maybe they aren't quite old enough to be on any historic registry, but then this is going to keep them from being torn down until they are. And then they'll be around.
Like maybe it gives it some extra life until someone else comes in and does something else with it beyond the ghost stuff. Okay. I mean, I love it. I think it's cool. I just wonder how long, and maybe it'll just expand and get bigger and more interesting. Who knows? I mean, I would have never have guessed 15 years ago, 10 years ago, that you would have such an expansive industry like this, where you could even support, I mean, and some of it's just kind of bare bones. It keeps the structure from going into default, mm-hmm. essentially. I mean, it's not necessarily like getting the, enough to renovate the place and make it livable, but it's also not, it's keeping from being torn down. Mm-hmm. But I would never have thought that that would even exist.
I think so. I think it'll keep having a following.
I wonder if you have things like this, because those are like, what I'm talking about are a lot of like abandoned structures or, you know, old hospitals, things of that nature. Something like this, I wonder if we're going to see more of this where it's like, well, this grandma has a haunted basement and it's a great way for grandma to make some extra income.
Like although, a haunted Airbnb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting right there. Just haunts, just haunted only, you know, and all it is haunted places you can rent.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like wherever you're getting into, these are haunted locations. Although you're going to, it's just, it's ripe for people to put up bullshit locations just for, you know.
Yeah. But you know what?
The reviews
are going to kill it.
You're exactly right. That's the.
If you don't have anybody have an experience, then it's not going to be worth the, you know, it'll
right.
kill it.
It's like Yelp.
Yeah.
You know, or TripAdvisor or whatever. Ghost Advisor.
Ghost Advisor.
Haunt Advisor.
Okay.
I have all these ideas that I just spew out on the show every week and
yeah.
people can just run with them and then you let me know and then I'll take my cut. I wonder, I mean, and the thing is, what's funny is I'll spew out these ideas and I have no idea if they exist or not. And a lot of times I go and look and either I'll get an email from somebody saying, oh, look, this already exists. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, okay, well, there you go. But
yeah.
Could be interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. One more story. It says this happened while we were living in Philadelphia. At that point, I was about two when my parents and I were living in a townhouse in the Mayfair section of Philadelphia. Although I was too young to remember living there, my mom swears that the house was haunted, and she's pretty level-headed. There were several strange occurrences that happened that really have no logical explanation. One time, my mom realized that she was missing $100. Thinking that my dad had taken it, she asked me about it, and he denied it. A few days later, someone punched her jewelry box, leaving the imprint of a fist on it. Once again, she just figured that it was my dad and that he had done it and thought nothing more of it. A few weeks later, my aunt was at the house. My mom suddenly got the urge to pull up a corner of the carpet in the living room. When she did, she found five $20 bills arranged in a perfect fan underneath the carpet. And that there's no way that the money could have been arranged there and stayed in that perfect of a fan after the carpet was put down and pulled back up. She figured that some other presence in the house was paying her back for the money that had disappeared. Aside from those few events, most of the paranormal activity was centered around my bedroom. I don't know if these memories of mine are real or not, but I seem to remember lying in my crib and seeing flying balls of red and green light swirling above my crib. Must have seen something because I would cry and scream out, not stopping until my mom had taken me outside into the sidewalk in front of the house. Several of my aunts and uncles also stayed in that bedroom at times, getting equally freaked out. When my uncle stayed there, he slept with a shotgun on his chest because he said that it felt like someone was coming to kill him the entire time he slept there. We've long since moved out of that house, but I would love to know the history of it and try to talk to the person living there now to see if they've experienced anything of the same nature.
As bad as it sounds, can a ghost be that bad if it gives you money? I
mean, it's a nice ghost.
It's a nice ghost. It's kind of odd. I bet there's more than one thing going on in that apartment or that townhouse.
I would think so. I wonder if it was the same money that was lost.
Yeah, and just hit it somewhere.
And that's where it went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you lost it, but then you found the same amount somewhere else. Maybe that's, you know.
Yeah.
You're coming out even.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What's the most money you ever found?
Found. I personally have not found anything more than like what you find in the parking lot sometimes by accident. Like, yeah. I think maybe a five.
Yeah. I found, when I was an adult, we found some money.
You found it.
Yeah. But I wasn't even thinking of that. When I was a kid, I found a $20 bill in a double mint gum wrapper
mm-hmm.
In front of a phone booth. And kids, that's where you used to have to go up and put a quarter into a machine, and there was a phone there. It was this big thing you put up to your head. It was a receiver. There was no texting on it or anything. It was just this thing, big box, and you talked into it, and you spoke to the other person. It's old times. I used that $20 to go and get a Titanic book from the Walden Books.
Okay.
It's the same book that I got Robert Ballard to sign when we saw him 8 years ago.
I think it's 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the book about him discovering the Titanic. And that's what I did with my money when I was a child.
Cool. That's really cool.
I didn't get toys. I got a book. And it wasn't a kid's book. It was very much an adult book. It was great. But the other time we did, or I found the money, I guess, was at our last house. Was putting in a light in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up, and a friend of mine was helping me with it. And I had thought that he had like just set his wallet or something, or a billfold or whatever, up on this beam, this ledge that was up. Because I just saw like a little bill hanging over the edge. I thought, oh, you know, he's set it up there, whatever. And I said, did you set your... I was just curious, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm like, I've been in this closet many a times and I don't recall seeing this. He's like, no, what are you talking about? And I just reached up right there. Stack of hundreds.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I think it was about $1,000.
It was. And all I heard was you laughing your maniacal laugh downstairs because you were in the basement. And I was like, oh, okay, they're having too much fun putting the slide in.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my God. And we had moved into the house less than a year earlier or so, mm-hmm. right? So
yeah.
So I'm guessing it was a previous person that had kind of hidden a stack of money around and that they forgot to take it when they moved.
Okay, it's bad on them for hiding money in the first place because you're hiding it from somebody. And then it's extra bad that you forgot much money.
It wasn't just like, oh, here's an extra $20.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That was a nice little surprise.
We were fairly newly married, so we didn't call the previous owner and say, hey, we found your wad of hundreds.
No. There you go. That was good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP. Because, yes, in 9 years, we've spent that $1,000 that we found in the staircase. So we could use you being an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month to get access to all of the bonus episodes. Keep this program alive and on the air. With your support, we can keep doing the show. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.